This is another epiphany that Jesus is truly God, but it serves as a second purpose to show us the glory that is waiting for us so that we're ready to live sacrificially for our lives on this earth. Transfiguration is also filled with alleluias because this is our final time to sing alleluias before we put those away for Lent. Ash Wednesday worship, then, is this Wednesday, 7:15 p.m. The service includes ashes and individual absolution and communion. Individual confession and absolution is available all through Lent on Saturdays at 11 a.m. If that's not a good time for you, let me know, and we'll get together at a different time for confession and absolution. We sing at the Care Center today following Bible class. Please join us if you're able to do so. In our prayers today, we include Jeanette Ernst, who is hospitalized. She's out of ICU and improving, but she's still in the hospital in St. Louis. And Pastor Herb Miller is also back in the hospital, so we include him in prayer. Are there other announcements or prayers? Monica.
So they're asking for 1,000 Lutherans to show up downtown St. Louis on the 7th. I have a little informational card so that you can just take home with you. It tells you how to go along online and register. It is free, and you march from Planned Parenthood to the Arch. Synod will have a mile marker where they'll have a booth and things that you can drinks and snacks. And the theme for Synod is Eyes for Life, so we'll be the Eyes for Life signs will be there. And then they'll also have a table under the arch. There'll be food trucks there, and they have shuttles that will run you back. So there's not turn around and walk all the way back to your car. So this will show you, it is free, or there also is a premium for $15 if you want to help support Coalition, and you get a goodie bag and a couple other things, maybe a t-shirt for that. But otherwise, free. So Synod was on KFUO Radio, Matt Harrison, last week. He's really behind this, really pushing, and you'll hear promos all week on the radio. So we're trying to get the Southern Illinois District to show up in big group. And you'll just, it's very simple. We're going to all meet. And also really cool is, this, you know how we do 40 Days for Life? The Seminary Life Team has adopted the prayer date in front of Planned Parenthood. So the seminarians will be the prayer people in front of Planned Parenthood where the march starts, praying for that whole day, which I think is really cool. So this is a big push. So,
but it's not only our synod that's involved. We've got Christians, a lot of Christians involved, but we're a major sponsor.
This is the first time that the synod has jumped in to be a major sponsor of it. So thank you.
Very good.
I'll have these at the front door, and I can just hand them to you as you guys go out if you're interested.
Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
Sue. Very good. So no supper this week, but we do have suppers all the remaining Wednesdays in Lent. Elaine.
This is another save the date announcement, kind of tag along with Monica. She mentioned March the 7th as an opportunity for a pro-life activity if you're interested in that. And this save the date is March 29th. It's a Sunday. And mark their calendars. It's another opportunity, an easy, very easy and effective way to be involved in saving lives through the death of abortion. And this, we'll tell you more about it in the coming weeks, but just save the date. It's a 40 days of life activity.
So we'll be, and that would be praying at Planned Parenthood, right, on the 29th. Thank you, Elaine. Amen. Anything else? Prayers or announcements? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on our worship this day and know that he will bless us as he comes to us in his word, in his sacrament, preparing us for sacrifice by reminding us of his glory. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Amen.
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son, you once confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of the ancient fathers, and in the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wondrously foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Therefore, mercifully make us co-heirs with our King of his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction. So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle for today is from 2 Peter. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the mountain, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Most handsome of the sons of men, grace is poured upon your lips, therefore God has blessed you forever. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. God that calls for our attention on this transfiguration of our Lord is the gospel for this day from Matthew chapter 17. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our glorious Lord, Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John get to hike up a mountain. This is my dream vacation. Only Peter and James and John aren't on vacation. Peter and James and John don't even know why they're hiking up the mountain. But Jesus is leading, and when Jesus leads, we follow, even if it makes life difficult. Peter and James and John soon realize why Jesus has led them hiking up this mountain. They see Jesus looking very unlike the Jesus they have known for the last 2+ years. Jesus, shining in glory. Jesus, blindingly bright like the sun. And suddenly there's a cloud over the top of them, not like other clouds. Matthew tells us this was a bright cloud. And from the cloud comes a voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And Peter and James and John wish they had not gone hiking. Peter and James and John cower in fear. This is the appropriate response, by the way, when you suddenly realize that this Jesus you've been accompanying is actually God. They cower. I don't know for how long, but at some point they feel a hand touch them and they look up. And there's Jesus. No Moses, no Elijah, no glory, no light, just plain old Jesus looking like he did before they started the hike up the mountain. And he says to them, get up. Stop being afraid. See, this translation is have no fear. But the point is, stop being afraid, which he says to us too. For whom is this transfiguration intended? Some people would say it's for Jesus. He needs to discover his identity. Any good hippie remembers Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera. I think they redid it a couple of years ago as a live TV presentation. I saw a little bit of the end of it. It suggests that Jesus is trying to figure out who he is and what he's doing here on earth. But Jesus didn't need the transfiguration to tell him that. One chapter earlier, he confirmed the fact that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he'd even said what he'd come to do. Suffer many things, be rejected by the chief priests and elders, be crucified, and on the third day be raised. Jesus didn't need the transfiguration to figure out who he was or what he was about. Maybe the transfiguration then is for adamant unbelievers, like the chief priests and the Pharisees, the ones who are opposed to Jesus. If they see that glory on the mountain, they'll know who Jesus is. But if it was intended for them, then Jesus would have taken them hiking so they would have seen the event. But he didn't. Besides, Jesus says, these adamant unbelievers, even if they were to see someone rise from the dead, they wouldn't believe. I wonder who might rise from the dead. Who's the transfiguration for? For Peter, for James, for John, for you, for me. For all of us who realize that following Jesus involves sacrifice, and sometimes we wonder, is it really worth the sacrifice to live my life the way he calls me to live? You've probably heard some of these TV preachers who tell you that you should be living a life of luxury. It's what God wants. Joyce Meyer says that God wants her to have a $10 million jet, a $110,000 Mercedes, and a multi-million dollar mansion. Some other TV preachers will tell you, some of them aren't even TV preachers, some preachers will tell you that if you don't enjoy a life of ease and luxury, it's because you don't have enough faith. I wonder if they would also say that Jesus was homeless and poor because he didn't have enough faith. Remember the very first three words of our gospel today? After 6 days. So what happened 6 days before? Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Yes." And that means I must suffer, be rejected, be killed, and on the third day rise. And anyone who would follow after me, you must take up your cross. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Doesn't sound like Jesus is calling us to a life of ease or of luxury or of glory. Sounds like he's calling us to a life very much like his own, a life of serving and sacrifice. Now, make no mistake, Jesus isn't telling you not to enjoy life. He enjoyed life. He went to the wedding at Cana, even supplied the alcohol for it. Jesus told humorous stories, smiled, laughed. He enjoyed life, but he understood what his purpose was. He had come to seek and to save the lost, to die in the place of you and me. And he calls us to a similar life of service. And so he says, in this world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There's one of the assurances of the Transfiguration, that he has overcome the world. See, Jesus knew how hard life was going to get for Peter and James and John. Let's see, Peter and James were going to be killed for following Jesus. John expected to be martyred also, but he ended up only suffering in exile on an island. Jesus knows how hard it is for you and me to live as his followers. He knows how we struggle to deny ourselves, take up our crosses and follow him, and he knows that we wonder, is it really worth it? And so he provides the transfiguration. He says to you and me what he said to Peter, James, and John, get up, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of me and stop being afraid of living for me. In effect, he's also saying to Peter, James, and John, come on, let's go, it's time. Not time to drive out Romans, it's time for the Son of Man to suffer. It is time for me to lay down my life. It is time for me to be crucified and on the third day to rise, so that you might live with forgiveness, so that you might live and die confident, unafraid, so that you might live knowing that even though you're going to go through a life of sacrifice while you are here, you have an eternal life of glory that is waiting for you. There's an elder in a Lutheran congregation who told me that his pastor hardly ever talked about Jesus' death or resurrection or about forgiveness or life that our Lord gives to us in his sermons. And this elder went and, with great trepidation, because he didn't want to cause any waves, he went and talked to his pastor. The pastor didn't listen. So the elder regrouped, thought about a different way of approaching things, went back to the pastor. The pastor was quite offended. This elder was sacrificing something of his reputation, of his place in the congregation, of the way people looked at him. But he was trying to do what was faithful, and he was doing what was faithful. Same thing happened in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod just short of 50 years ago. Some of the professors at our seminary in St. Louis said, you can't believe everything that the Bible says. And there were lay people in our congregations who stood up and said, you can't teach that in our seminary. These people weren't fighting a single pastor like the elder that I told you about. They were fighting some of the most powerful men in our synod, professors at the seminary. But I'm thankful that they stood up almost 50 years ago, that they denied themselves, took up their crosses, and followed Jesus, even when there were consequences for many of them. Maybe they were looking ahead. Maybe they were looking ahead to that glory that the Transfiguration promises to all of us, so that they took courage while they were here on this earth. By the way, one of the professors changed what he was teaching. Several of the professors never doubted the Bible. But the bulk of them, the ones who refuse to stop teaching that you can't believe everything in the Bible, they cease to be professors and pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When you speak up for the unborn. When you pray outside of an abortion clinic, when you say that embryonic stem cell research is unethical, you're not likely to get a glorious life as a result. When you tell your friends that, no, I'm not going to go get drunk with you, I'm not even going to smoke marijuana with you now that it's legal, because this is a temple of the Holy Spirit that I live with. When you tell your boss that you will not compromise and do what is unethical for him, you may have some consequences. One of our members lost her job because she refused to do what she believed was unethical. Look to the Transfiguration, what it promises you, so that you can do what's right. Because of tax laws now, it is financially far better for people who want to marry later in life to instead just check up. But I know older Christian couples who have taken a financial sacrifice, gotten married, trusted God to provide for them, and understood, I'm not called to a life of riches, I am called to a life of following Jesus. Besides, a little financial loss is hardly a big cross to carry. But why would any Christian carry any cross for our Lord? Why would we make any sacrifices for him? Because he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And because we have the promise of the Transfiguration. Spring training has just begun. So if your favorite team, which should either be the Cardinals or the Royals, by the way, if your favorite team you knew right now was going to win the World Series, think how that would change the way you looked at the season. When your team started losing multiple games in a row, if they were in last place in the middle of the season the way the Blues were last year, you would not lose hope. You would know the World Series is ours. Well, the Transfiguration is God's way of telling Peter and James and John and you and me that there's no doubt who's going to win the victory. Even when Jesus hangs dead on a Roman instrument of execution, even when it seems like all hope is gone, even when you live in a world where it seems like the kingdom of this world is driving out the kingdom of God, there is no doubt. Jesus is God. Jesus lives. The victory is won. There isn't a doubt about it. Yes, he will suffer and die, but that's how he's paying for you to have a place with him forever. After 3 days, he will rise again. This is what Jesus told Peter and James and John. As they were hiking down the mountain, he said, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Jesus knows what's going to happen. Jesus knows not only will he end up victorious, but the Transfiguration is also telling you that you and everyone who has been baptized onto his team will end up victorious. The Transfiguration is, we just sang, a wondrous type, a vision fair of glory that the church will share. A type? That's a foreshadowing, a picture, a preview of coming attractions, a promise to you that when you see Jesus in his glory, that's the glory that you're going to have. Because Jesus will share his glory with you the way he shared his glory with Moses and Elijah when they were up on that mountain, even though they had been dead for centuries. He says to you, you are my beloved daughter, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, because Jesus has removed anything that makes you unpleasing to your heavenly Father. He even feeds you at his family table with Jesus' body and blood. So if you knew your team was going to win the World Series, you could bet everything on them and be quite confident. The Transfiguration says you know that Jesus is going to be the victor in the end. You can bet your very life on him, even when that life gets difficult. You can give away your money generously. You can endure the insults of others when they think you're hopelessly outdated for trusting in Jesus and hopelessly out of touch when you live the way he wants you to live, like with a chaste and decent life sexually. Take another glimpse of that glory that Jesus showed on the mountain. That glory is going to be yours. That's why you can stand firm. For whom does a transfiguration happen? It's not for Jesus. He knows who he is, God and Messiah. He knows what he's here to do, rescue you and me. It's not for unbelievers, not those adamant ones who aren't going to believe even though Jesus rose from the dead. It is for Peter and James and John and you and me who are being called to a life of service and sacrifice and who sometimes wonder, is it worth it? The Transfiguration promises there's glory waiting for you because the one who glows with that glory covered up the glory, walked down from the mountain, denied himself, took up his cross, and purchased glory. For whom? For you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand for the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Dear people who have the promise that we will share in Christ's glory, let us bring before our Father's throne of grace our praises and petitions. Father of our Lord Jesus, in your Son, your glory dwelt among us in human flesh to win for us eternal life. Open the eyes of all people to see the glory in the face of Christ. Renew Blair, Paul, and all of us in baptismal faith so that we are prepared to live sacrificial lives for you, knowing Christ has purchased glory in heaven for us. Especially protect and give courage to our sisters and brothers who carry the cross of persecution because they follow you. Gracious Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. Lover of humanity, Moses and Elijah serve as witnesses that the entire Old Testament speaks about Jesus. Grant to every pastor and servant in our church today wisdom to open the Scriptures so that all of us hear the voice of the Savior calling us to life. Especially guide our sisters and brothers of St. Mark, St. Peter, and St. John congregations and their pastors. Keep them faithful to your word and guide the work of the Christ our Savior family. Glorious Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. King of the nations, you have established authority upon the earth to be a blessing, not a burden. Remember our government leaders and everyone in this world entrusted with civil authority. Grant them wisdom and integrity. Lead our nation to uphold your gifts of life and marriage. Bless Roger and Anne and their marriage. Glorious Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. Comforter of the sorrowing, be with those who are ill, hospitalized, lonely, afflicted, or dying. Comfort Drayvon's family. Come to the aid of Jeanette, Stanley, Dennis, Roger, Barb, Charles, Kathy, Sherry, Dimitri, Charlie, Devin, Herb, Tracy, Joshua, Bill, Darlene, Clem, and Nina. Grant them relief, healing, and your peace that passes understanding. Glorious Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. Giver of the feast, you spread your banquet and invite your children for the foretaste of the feast to come. Give to us repentance, joy, and confident faith that you are giving us the holy body and the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed and glorified for us. Use this meal to strengthen us for lives of sacrifice and service. Glorious Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. Immortal God, you raised your Son as the firstborn from the dead. Receive our thanks for Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John, and all who have fallen asleep with faith in Jesus. Bring us with them to experience at the resurrection the fullness of his glory. Glorious Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant to us, all glorious Trinity. For you are a giving God, and you love your whole creation. To you we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Stand for the preface.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Given unto death for the forgiveness of all.
take turns with the blood of Christ, shed for you, forgiveness of all of your sins. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you. You have received the body and blood of your glorious Lord Jesus. You've received his forgiveness and a foretaste of the glory that is waiting for you. Go in his peace.
Jesus shines purer than all the angels in the
sadness may perplex us and distress us, yet with every joy you bless us. Lord, when you look on us in love, and
you ever spare the body and the soul of our glorious Lord Jesus, the forgiveness of your sins is prepared as the foretaste of the transfiguration of glory that is waiting for you.
Let your mercy warm and cheer us, so draw near us, for you teach us God's own love through you has reached us. The manifest in cloud-born voice, God.
God's beloved, begotten choice, anthems be to thee addressed. God in flesh made manifest.
Body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty Lord God, you have given your Son to be the light of the world. Enlighten our lives with the forgiveness of his body and blood, that we who now adore him unseen may in the end of days behold him face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.